Part 4.
The dream analogy provides some insight concerning this naive artist. We visualize the dreaming person, how, in the course of the illusion of the dream world and without disturbing it, that person calls out, "This is a dream. I want to continue dreaming." From this, we must assume a deeper inner desire for dreaming. But, on the other hand, in order to be able to dream with this inner desire for dream contemplation, we must forget completely the day and its frightening obtrusiveness. We may perhaps shed light on all these appearances under the guidance of Apollo, the dream interpreter. Of the two halves of life, the waking half and the dreaming half, the first seems to be preferred, more important, dignified, and worthy of life, and it alone seems to be the one we live. In spite of the appearance of a paradox, I would nevertheless claim that because of the mysterious foundation of our being of which we are the manifestation, for us the appearances have the opposite value of a dream. The more I become aware of these powerful drives toward art and nature, and in them a fervent longing for appearance, the more I become aware of my liberation by its appearance. And I feel myself being urged toward the metaphysical assumption that the true being and the primordial unity, as eternally suffering and contradictory, needs this delightful vision and this pleasurable appearance for its constant redemption. This appearance, by which we are totally caught and through which we exist, is necessary as the truly non-existent, that is, as a continuous becoming in time, place, and causality. In other words, it must be perceived as empirical reality. So, let us disregard for a moment our own reality. Let us hold on to our empirical presence as that of the world in general and as producing a representation of the primordial unity at every moment. Then, the dream will count as the appearance of an appearance, and therefore